far.
Welcome to A Fond Kiss, written and read by Alice Day. Previously, the dancing foursome continued, and Craig's depression and mood swings had gone, much to Pippa's delight. One rainy night, she and David ended up dry under his umbrella, but soaking wet on their legs. Pippa offered David a pair of Stan's trousers, but David felt odd about putting on her dead husband's clothes.
Even with soaking wet trousers, David was hesitant to accept clothing of Pippa's dead husband. But she insisted, leading him through to Craig's bedroom to try them on.
OK, thanks very much. I'll try the navy ones. If they fit, they'll match this jacket.
Right. I'll be in the sitting room having my tea. Pippa had finished her tea when she heard
ta-da!
Behind her. And there was David, striking a daft pose in the perfectly fitting navy blue trousers. Suddenly, she was aware of how handsome David's figure was. Slightly taller than Stan, which made the trousers fit perfectly. Stan had always worn them a fraction too long. She even noticed how dark his eyes were, matching his dark brown hair. She brushed the thought away immediately he spoke.
He's a handsome boy,
he said with a nod towards the photograph.
But that's not surprising with a mother as lovely as you.
He was moving towards her and she knew what was coming. To avoid the intimacy, she said, well, no, that's better, isn't it? They fit perfectly. Take the grey pair too and leave the wet ones with me and I'll press them when they're dry.
Does that mean I have to go or can I have a cup of tea first?
Of course you can, Dafty, she said as she poured. Milk and no sugar, right?
I'm surprised you remembered. It's a wee while since we graced the tables of the corner cafe. Thank God.
Why? What's wrong with it?
Oh, nothing. Just that we always had so little time there and you kept looking round in case one of the staff came in. I've even caught you looking round in the cinema.
He took a long sip of his tea, then asked kindly,
Pippa, does that mean you still feel guilty?
With a shrug of her shoulders, she gave several nods before speaking. You're Catholic too. You must know why.
If I were cheating on my wife, I'd feel guilty, but she's the one who couldn't wait to cheat on me. I sometimes wonder about her and that Major she's driving. I suspect they're... Oh, I don't know. It was just the brevity of that last note before she left Maryhill Barracks with them for a camp somewhere, I don't know, somewhere south. It was pretty clear she had no intention of coming back. And that was 2 years ago, and I haven't heard a word from her since.
He put down his cup and turned to Pippa.
But since I've been seeing you, it doesn't seem to matter anymore. You've made me so happy, Pippa.
He didn't smile, just looked at her intensely, hoping she'd say she felt the same. He saw tears starting to well in her eyes, but she gave a little cough and turned to the clock on the mantelpiece. Goodness, will you look at the time? Craig'll be back soon. If you finish your tea, I'll clear these things away. She lifted the tray and slid sideways away from the couch. I'll just take this through and wash it all up. We don't want any awkward questions from Craig. As she went through the hall, she called out, Your umbrella's nearly dry. The hint was all too clear, so he followed her into the hall, but didn't go into the kitchen. He called out,
Is it all right if I use your loo?
Of course. It's opposite the bedroom you were in, she called back as she continued towards the sink with her back to him. everything neatly away, she was drying her hands on the small kitchen towel when she heard him returning. David had decided the quicker he got out, the better for both of them, and was hurrying down the hall when she stepped out of the kitchen and they collided. He bumped her off balance and naturally caught hold of her. Their closeness was too much for him, and in a flash he had her in his arms and was kissing her. "Oh, David, don't!" she almost yelled as she turned herself away from him. He approached her bent figure. Slowly and gently, he placed his hands on her shoulders and turned around to face him.
"Why not?"
Because... He didn't wait for any more, just kissed her again, so softly that this time she allowed it to continue until they were locked in each other's arms and his kiss was shared fervently. When he stopped, he took her face between his hands and kissed her cheek and forehead gently, and looking into her eyes said,
"I love you, Pippa."
Choking on her words, she turned away, saying, "Please don't say that. Oh, dear God." And she buried her face in her hands.
"I better go,"
he said abruptly as he lifted his umbrella and closed it. She turned and they both stood still, staring at one another. He hoped she might run into his arms, but she just stood there, swallowing several times. Suddenly, she pulled herself out of the feelings that were overwhelming her and forced herself to speak brightly. "Don't forget the other pair of trousers. They're bound to fit too." She ran off and fetched them from the bedroom. "There you are. Sorry, I'm out of paper bags. Make sure you keep them under your umbrella. No point having two pairs of wet trousers." She moved to the door and opened it. He planted a little kiss on her cheek as he moved outside. Then he stopped on the threshold and turned. Trying to copy her forced brightness, he said,
"How about a day out somewhere when we're on school holidays, eh?"
"Not till I've told Craig. Let me work on that one first, and I'll tell you next Friday."
"Okay,"
he smiled indulgently. Pippa closed the door and leant against it for some time, trying to work out her situation. Her head half in the clouds and half deep in thought, she had no idea how long she had stood there. When she started making her way to her bedroom, she heard the door opening. "Hello, darling," she called. "I thought you might be later than this."
"So did I. We went for fish and chips after the film. We walked a fair distance in the rain, only to find they'd run out of fish and were closing down. It was too wet to walk to the next chippy. Just then Daisy's tram car arrived, so she jumped on yelling, 'Cheerio, big boy,' much to the amusement of the conductress."
Coming down the hall, Pippa asked, "What did you see?"
"Babes on Broadway," and he pulled a face. "I didn't like it." "No, it was ridiculous. I wanted to see Suspicion. But Daisy loves musicals." "Well, that was very noble of you."
"And I hope you'll be noble about my idea too."
"Uh-oh, what idea is that?"
"Come here and I'll tell you," she said, walking back into the lounge with Craig at her heels. She offered him a cigarette and they stood smoking beside the fireplace before she began. "I've been thinking. It's your birthday next month. You missed your 21st last year, but it's never too late for a celebration. How do you fancy a wee party? I know you're not ready yet for big gatherings. Just a wee get-together of family with Irene and John and whatever friends you want. Certainly Kevin and Christine and Daisy, of course. And we'll have to include your Auntie Margaret and Uncle Arthur. His face fell and his eyes went rolling up to the ceiling. Yes, I know she's a bit of a pain, but they still haven't seen you since you came home. The 29th is a Saturday. That should suit the workers among us. I don't know. He walked about the room, his hand up to his mouth. Then he suddenly turned. Ach, why not? But just the 9 of us. Unless you've got a boyfriend, he teased, laughing. The ensuing silence and his mother's crimson cheeks and embarrassed expression stopped him in his tracks. You haven't, have you?
Thank you.